With the Texas abortion ban and the rallies in support of abortion access a few weeks ago, plus the upcoming challenge to Roe in the U.S. Supreme Court, abortion is all over the news and top of mind for many of us right now. So how do we talk to our kids about abortion? And what do kids need to know about abortion at each age and stage? Plus, how can the politicization and cultural stigma around abortion impact the messages we send to our kids without us even realizing it? That's what we're talking about today on Sex Ed at Home. Before we get into that, though, I want to let you know that if you're looking for information, skills, and resources that will help you talk with your kids about sex, bodies, and relationships with ease and confidence, you need to subscribe to Everybody Talks newsletter. You'll be notified when new episodes of the podcast drop, and you'll be the first to know about our live virtual workshops, on-demand courses, and other helpful stuff. You can sign up at www.everybodytalks.co/subscribe, and that link is in the show notes. Okay, let's get to it. So the first thing that I want you to know today is that I am staunchly, unapologetically pro-abortion. I believe that every person has the right to self-determination and bodily autonomy, and that literally every other facet of liberation is connected to abortion access and abortion rights. Because if we can't control our own bodies, we can't control our destinies. Abortion is currently set up as a privilege in our country, but I think it should be a right that's both legally and practically accessible. I think abortion should be available on demand without apology, and I've been working for 15 years to help us get there. So I started out my career working at Planned Parenthood, and in that job, I passed through anti-choice picket lines every single day on my way into work who screamed violent and offensive shit at me. I am currently on the board of my local abortion fund, and I have given countless hours and dollars to abortion access organizing and advocacy throughout my life. And I'm telling you all of this because I want to be super clear at the outset what my values are, and that I'll be talking about this topic today through a pro-choice lens. If you have different beliefs about abortion than I do, that's fine. People can be pro-choice but anti-abortion. So maybe they believe that abortion should be accessible for everyone, but they personally would not have one. People can be pro-choice but only in certain circumstances. So for example, are you still pro-choice for gender-selective abortions? How about for fetal anomalies that aren't fatal? How about in the second trimester? Right? So there are all kinds of ways to be pro-choice. I don't agree with all of them, and you may not agree with all of my opinions about this issue. But I think that you can still get something out of this episode and the general structure I'm going to offer today about how to talk to kids about this issue, regardless of your specific brand of pro-choice beliefs. But if you're anti-choice, this episode is probably not for you. So despite or maybe because of my many years of work on this issue and my strong beliefs about it, I still come up against internalized abortion stigma and politicized beliefs about abortion, and it impacts how I talk with my kids about it. So here's how that showed up the other day in my house, in my family. So my kiddo came home from school and told me that the abortion rallies that were held across the country a few weekends ago were featured on CNN 10, which is this news program specifically produced for kids and shown in classrooms around the country. And just as an aside, I did watch the video later because they're all available online, and I saw that the rallies weren't actually a feature. They weren't really a big part of the show that day. They were just mentioned really briefly in the context of a story about the Supreme Court's fall docket. And it was just one of several other controversial issues that the Supreme Court is going to be ruling on coming up in the next couple of months. So that was sort of the context of the story. But I was still surprised that a program designed to be watched in schools would even mention abortion. And I let my surprise show on my face and in my tone of voice when my kiddo mentioned it and I responded. And then they told me that they had shared with their teacher that I attended the rally here in Portland. And I said, oh, did you say that in front of the whole class? And they were like, yeah, why? Is that okay? And I was like, oh, yeah, of course. Oh, totally fine. Absolutely. Yes, no problem. Oops, backpedal. It was not my finest moment as either a parent or an abortion advocate. And it really got me wondering, why did I, as a staunchly and unapologetically pro-choice person who is absolutely not ashamed or secretive about my values around this issue, and in fact, I had posted on Instagram about tabling at that rally, why did I get so weird about my kids seeing this on the news in school and then essentially telling their whole class that their mom is pro-choice? And why was that reaction a problem for me? So the simple answer to the first part of that question is that abortion is highly divisive in this country, and people are literally killed for helping pregnant people obtain abortion care. And, you know, I have a deep history in this work, and I began my career in sexuality education with Planned Parenthood, which is obviously, for those of you in the U.S., probably the best known provider of abortion care in the country. But they also provide a ton of other essential services, right? In fact, the majority of their services are things like cervical and breast cancer screenings and annual exams and STI testing and treatment. But the thing that they are arguably best known for is providing abortion care. And while I worked there, this was a huge focus of a lot of my training and a lot of the sort of politicization of my job and the conflicts that I encountered in my community. Not only did I have to pass through anti-abortion picketers shouting offensive things at me, which I mentioned a few minutes ago, and they were like holding horrible graphic signs and like props and things like that, and I had to pass through that every single day on my way to work. I also lived and worked for a lot of my time at Planned Parenthood in a very conservative town and community, where Planned Parenthood sex education classes in the local school district were the target of protesters. And in fact, they were protesters not even from the local community, they were protesters from out of state. And as a sex educator in that environment, I was trained to act as if I might be recorded and my words used against me at any time in any class or any public speaking event that I held. I was not allowed to talk about abortion directly in my classes unless a student asked a question about it. And even then, what I was allowed to say was extremely limited and constrained. Our organization was the target of multiple phishing campaigns while I worked there. And after I left, one of the clinics I worked at was the site of a shooting where multiple people were killed. So working in reproductive rights and justice is dangerous. People literally die doing this work, and that shit is deeply ingrained in me. And I've been trained to be really cautious about what I say and to whom. Even actually recording this episode feels a little bit vulnerable to me. And so it's no wonder that I had that reaction when I heard that my child had publicly proclaimed my pro-choice views. And I should say, this is a new school. I don't know the teacher. I don't know the other parents in the class very well. I don't yet have a sense of the community at this school. And so I felt very exposed, where I feel like if this had happened at our previous school, where I had deep relationships and really well-established relationships with the staff and also with the other families, I might not have had quite the same reaction. But it's just, I don't know who these people are, and I don't know what their beliefs are. And that feels really exposed and dangerous to me. So I'm not going to get into the history of the politicization of abortion today, but I do encourage you to Google it if you don't know much about it, because it hasn't always been this divisive wedge issue. It hasn't always been a thing that people literally kill each other over. It hasn't always been the way that it is now. It was intentionally cultivated as a wedge issue in the 70s by conservative lawmakers to turn out socially conservative voters and inflame culture wars for political gains. So the sort of relevant question for us is, if we want to raise a generation of kids who are able to think and talk about abortion in informed and reasonable ways and contribute to a culture where people can access the care they need without providers being killed, and where everybody has access to safe, legal, and compassionate abortion care if and when they need it, what do we need to be doing now as parents and caregivers? So like everything else that kids learn, this is an issue that requires scaffolding. So if you've taken a class with me or, you know, have listened to other episodes of the podcast, you may have heard me talk about this concept before. But essentially, scaffolding is a concept in education that helps us think about the ways that information and skills build on each other and that we need to provide sort of the foundational information and skills that kids need if they're going to understand more complex concepts later on. So for example, if we want our kids to eventually learn geometry, we can't just throw them into a geometry class when they reach high school, right? Because in order to learn geometry, they need to know algebra. And in order to do algebra, they need to know basic mathematical operations, addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. In order to learn those, they have to understand counting and number value and whole numbers. And that starts basically in preschool, right? So it's the same with sex ed. If we want to raise kids who are healthy sexual people, who understand how to be in mutually respectful and safe and fulfilling relationships, and who contribute to a culture where, for example, abortion is not as stigmatized as it is now, we need to start early with the basics and build from there. So that's sort of a big picture way to think about talking about abortion with kids. There is a big difference between math and sex ed that we need to be aware of, though, and that is how much our values and beliefs influence what we teach our kids about sex ed. And there can be some of that with math too, of course, right? So for example, we might have a deeply ingrained and unexamined belief that girls are worse at math than boys are. And we might communicate that to our kids without even realizing that we're doing that. But in general, I think it's safe to say that sex ed topics are much more values laden than math or reading or some of the other topics that our kids learn about. So in order to talk to our kids effectively about abortion, the first thing we need to do as parents and caregivers, as always, is to get really clear for ourselves on what our values around this issue actually are. So you may already feel really clear, but if you aren't, I would encourage you to take some time to really think about it. Talk with a co-parent or another trusted adult, journal it out, you know, whatever you need to do to sort of figure out how you feel about this issue. And I really encourage you to go beyond just, am I pro-choice or am I anti-choice? I really want you to think about some of the more nuanced aspects of this discussion. Like, are there certain circumstances in which I don't think abortion should be accessible? Are there certain circumstances in which I myself would not choose an abortion, but I think it's fine for other people to do that? How do I feel about abortion being, you know, free and readily accessible? So I provided some questions and some resources to help you think through those more nuanced or detailed aspects of your values in the show notes. So I encourage you to check those out. So once you're clear on your values, you can start to decide what are the messages that you really want to send to your kids about abortion. So, you know, maybe you are on the sort of Hillary Clinton train of safe, legal, and rare abortion, right? Or maybe you're on the more radical free abortion on demand without apology side of things. And of course, there's a wide range of other beliefs and values too. And people with those different viewpoints are probably going to say different things to their kids about abortion. So that's why it's so important to get clear on what your values are so that you can think about, in a sort of big picture sense, what are the messages that I want to send to my kids about abortion and how I want them to think about it. So I just did a guest interview about this topic on another podcast, and she talked about how she is super pro-choice, and also it's really important to her to talk about her abortion experience as that she was pregnant with a baby that she chose not to bring into their family, and that was a really hard and sad choice for her. And she talked about how sometimes it feels like there's not room in pro-choice movement for that abortion narrative. Like, somehow advocating for abortion has to equal always celebrating it. And so it's not okay for pro-choice people to admit their feelings of loss or sadness around it. And she really feels like that's an important nuance that she wants to talk with her teenage daughter about, but she has a much harder time figuring out how to talk about that with her elementary age son, which makes sense, right? These are complicated issues. They get all tangled up with complicated feelings and complicated politics and cultural messages. And developmentally, a teenager is ready to discuss a lot more nuance than a 7-year-old is, right? So let's talk a little bit about what are the key pieces of information kids might need about abortion at each age and stage. So starting with 4 to 6-year-olds, 4 to 6-year-olds often have questions about pregnancy because they often have people around them who are pregnant, and their learning at this age is very grounded in their environment and experiences and the sort of real life context of their lives. But because abortion is so stigmatized and kept so secret, and because it's a private medical procedure that's happening behind closed doors, it's unlikely that they will be directly exposed to abortion or even to somebody talking openly about their abortion. So at this age, you'll really need to be proactive about bringing it up with them. And the best way to do that is in the context of a conversation about pregnancy. And I'm going to give you an example of how that can look in just a second. But before I do that, I just want to say, this is a moment that if you are a person who grew up sort of believing or internalizing this idea that abortions can't be talked about or that there's something shameful about them, even if that's not something that you intellectually believe now, this might be a moment where you really need to draw on your courage and also your sort of integrity with yourself and examining whether your behaviors or values aligned, because it would be really, because you have to be so proactive with this age group about bringing up abortion, since it's not probably something they're being directly exposed to, it would be easy to just sort of say, well, they're not bringing it up. They're not asking questions. So I have an easy out. Like, I don't have to have this conversation. It kind of makes me uncomfortable. So I'm just not going to do it. And, you know, that is a choice that you can make. No judgment here if that is the choice that you make. And I would say that if you're a person who really believes that part of destigmatizing abortion and making abortion access greater for everyone is normalizing abortion, then part of what that means is having courageous conversations with our kids at a young age about what abortion is and bringing it up proactively. So when my kiddo was about 6, they asked me a question one day about my pregnancy with them, and that led into this whole conversation about my other pregnancies, one of which ended in an abortion. And I realized during the course of that conversation that I was talking really openly with them about my other pregnancy outcomes. So I had a child in college that I placed for adoption, and we are in contact with her and her parents. So my kiddo already knew all about that. And then I also shared with them in the course of that conversation that I had had a miscarriage just before I got pregnant with them. But I realized that I wasn't mentioning the abortion that I had when my kiddo was about 4. And I had this sort of aha moment that by not talking with them about it, I was contributing to a culture of stigma and shame and silence about abortion. But my value is that abortion is normal and common and nothing to be ashamed of, and that people should be able to talk about it openly. And so I really had to like take a moment to figure out how I could be more in alignment with my values and in integrity with myself. And so I took a deep breath and I just said, you know, I also got pregnant when you were about 4 and I had an abortion. Do you know what that is? And they said they didn't. And so I said, well, sometimes a person gets pregnant when they don't want to be, or sometimes there's a problem with the baby or with the pregnancy that makes it unsafe for the person to be pregnant. And in those cases, the person can go and see a doctor and the doctor will help them end the pregnancy. And then I told them I knew that if I had another child, that I wouldn't be able to take care of you or take care of myself in the ways that I wanted to. So I decided it wasn't a good time for me to have another baby. So I went to the doctor and I ended that pregnancy. So that is roughly the level of detail that's appropriate for that age group. So again, that was my kiddo was 6 at the time, and roughly that level of detail would be appropriate for a kiddo from age 4 to 6-ish. you know, each kid is a little bit different. So you're the best judge of what your child can understand. But that example is roughly appropriate for that age group. If they ask more questions, you certainly can provide more information. You'll just want to keep your language very simple. And at this age, it's really not necessary to talk about the cultural or political aspects of abortion. So remember, you're scaffolding, right? So you'll have the chance to introduce those parts of the conversation later on. Right now, they just need to know that abortion exists. It's a choice that people have when they're pregnant, or it's a possible outcome of pregnancy. And I know that that might feel uncomfortable because it misses a lot of the nuance about the realities of abortion access and the different feelings people might have about it and a bunch of other stuff. But again, you'll have opportunities to talk about all of that stuff with them later. For now, you just want to stick to the basics. And if you don't have lived experience of abortion yourself, which for me was like a really easy entry point into that conversation, I would suggest, because it's so important at this age for new information to be connected to things or people or situations that your child is already familiar with to help give them the context they need to really understand it, I would try to get permission from a family member or another adult your child knows to share their abortion story with your child when those conversations about pregnancy come up. There is a really great book for this age group that talks about abortion and all pregnancy outcomes in an age-appropriate way. It's by Shauna Murphy, and it's called Maybe a Baby. I've actually linked to a YouTube video of her reading it aloud to a group of kids in the show notes, and I'm sure you could find a copy to buy for your family as well online. Okay, so let's talk about how this might look for 7 to 9-year-olds. So at this age, the explanation of what an abortion is actually doesn't need to look much different than what I just gave for a 4 to 6-year-old. Some language that could work well with this age group, and again, every child is a little bit different, so you can tailor this to your specific child's language development and intellectual development and sort of ability to understand complex topics. But you might say something like, "So abortion is a medical procedure that ends a pregnancy. A pregnant person can go to a doctor, and they usually have a choice of whether to take some medicine that ends the pregnancy or to have a small surgery that empties the uterus, which is where the pregnancy grows inside the body." And that's really all you need to say about the procedure itself. I would say the biggest difference with this age group is the questions that they might ask. They might have more sort of follow-up questions because they have more highly developed critical thinking skills and empathy than 4 to 6-year-olds do. So they might ask questions like, does it hurt the baby? Or does it hurt the pregnant person? Or they might want to know more details about the procedure itself and how it works. They might also want to know if you or other adults they're close to have had personal experiences with abortion. They might want to know why someone would choose to end a pregnancy. So, you know, just if you have a kiddo in this age group and you're thinking about proactively starting this conversation or how this conversation might go with them, I would just think through some of the questions that they might ask and try and either practice or at least think about what you'll say in response. And remember that if your kiddo ever asks you a question that you don't know the answer to or that you feel uncomfortable with or that you just want to think about a little bit more, it's okay to tell them that. It's okay to say, like, "Thank you so much for asking that. That's such a good question. I really want to make sure that I give you a thoughtful answer or the right answer or a good answer. And so I'm going to take some time to think about it, but I promise you I'll get back to you." And then make sure that you do, right? Make sure that you follow up with them and you don't just blow that off, because that's part of building that trust and that strong relationship container that you need with your kids so that they know they can come to you with questions about sexuality and that you will answer them honestly and the best that you can, even if you don't do that right away. So that's really important that you do that follow-up. This also ties in with another key important message for this age group around sex, which is that adults have sex most of the time for reasons that don't have anything to do with reproduction. So if they've gotten the message that sex is for reproduction, they might be really confused about why then, if somebody finds themselves pregnant after having sex, they would want to end that pregnancy. That might not make sense to them, right? If they had gotten this message that sex is for reproduction, they'll be like, well, isn't that what you were trying to do? Why would you then not want that? So you, at this age, it's really important for them to know that sex is also for pleasure. So you might say something like, you know, adults have sex to feel close to each other or to feel good in their bodies or to show love or to relax and have fun or whatever messages you want to send about why people have sex that align with your values. And this is important for a couple of reasons. So one, when we talk to kids about sex only in the context of reproduction, we're actually being really exclusive of most queer sex, which is sex that usually can't make a baby. And to be clear, when I say queer sex, I don't necessarily only mean sex between people of the same gender, but that is a different topic for a different episode. But the idea here is that not all types of sex that people have can lead to reproduction. And that's true even when you have like a cisgender heterosexual couple, right? Like if sex was only for reproduction, then oral sex wouldn't make sense. So we set kids up for a lot of misunderstandings about sex and how it works and what it's for when we talk to them only in the context of reproduction. And we also are excluding most types of queer sex. We also are setting them up for a lot of confusion about things like contraception and safer sex practices, because if we tell them that sex is for reproduction, it becomes much harder to understand why birth control is a thing, much for the same reason that it becomes harder for them to understand why abortion exists, right? Like, if sex is for reproduction, then why would you want to do a thing that prevents that from happening? That doesn't make logical sense. So we have to be really careful about the narrative that we're sending about what sex is for. And then there's also just the sort of larger philosophical question of, if we only talk about sex as for reproduction, we're sort of capitulating to our culture's erotophobia, and we're leaving out a lot of really important information about what sex is actually for and the pleasure that it can bring people and the fact that, you know, pleasure is actually a good and important thing and worthy of seeking out. And I think when we leave that out of the conversation, we sort of unintentionally instill a sense of shame around wanting to have sex for pleasure. So then when our kids get older and they start learning about sex and sexuality from other sources, if we've only told them that sex is for reproduction, they realize that we haven't been totally honest with them about sex. And then it erodes their trust in us as good sources of information about sexuality. And that is the opposite of what we are trying to do. So if you need some support around what kind of language to use with this age group to explain pleasure and what sex is all about, I would highly recommend Corey Silverberg's excellent book, Sex is a Funny Word, which I will link to in the show notes for you. And then there's also an abortion-specific book that looks like it's about for this age group. It's new, and so I haven't read it yet, but it looks really great. It's called What's an Abortion Anyway? And I also linked that for you in the show notes. Okay, so let's talk now about kids age 10 to 12. So the general guidelines about pregnancy and reproduction for this age group are that they should know the basics of human reproduction well enough to explain it to other people. And they can also start to learn about contraception, sexually transmitted infections, and safer sex practices. So a natural extension of those conversations is to talk to them about all of the pregnancy outcomes, including abortion. And you can also start to talk with them more at this stage about some of the basics of the sort of cultural or social controversies surrounding abortion and the range of beliefs that people have about it. I think sometimes in pro-choice circles, there's an inclination to feel like we shouldn't be talking to our kids about sort of the other side of the debate because there's really only one right side, right? But I actually think that that does them a disservice because they're gonna start to hear and be exposed to other ideas about abortion as they are, you know, moving about the world on their own more independently without us. And if we haven't given them the whole story, again, that erodes their trust in us as a reliable and trustworthy source of information about sexuality, right? So I personally think that it's really important to talk to kids about the full range of beliefs that people have about this. They're still pretty concrete thinkers at this age, so it does help to anchor those discussions in things that are happening around them or in their real life. So, for example, say you're driving around doing errands and you see some protesters outside your neighborhood Planned Parenthood, or you see a pro-life billboard on the side of the road, or there's, like there was here a few weeks ago, a rally for abortion access happening in your community. That was a big instigator of conversations about abortion in our house a few weeks ago. Or, you know, there's something related to abortion in the news that they're seeing at school or in your household if you have the news available to them, right? So take advantage of those opportunities to bring up the subject, ask them what they know already about what abortion is, to sort of make sure that they have like the factual parts of the conversation right and solid, and then ask them what they've heard or what they think or sort of what their like instinctual reaction is. And then you can have an open conversation and discuss your beliefs. And don't be afraid to admit if you're unsure of how you feel or if your beliefs have changed over time. Kids this age can really handle that, and they appreciate that kind of nuance from the trusted adults in their lives. I was talking with a group of eighth graders the other day about what they want adults to know about what it's like being a kid right now and what they wish adults would talk to them more about. And we weren't talking about abortion, but I think one of the things that they told me applies to this discussion, which was many of them felt like their parents did not respect their ability to form their own opinions and beliefs. And they felt like they were really being pressured to align with their parents' belief systems instead of having the space to figure things out for themselves. And when they tried to express that, their parents were really dismissive of them and said things like, oh, you'll understand more when you're older, or I know you think that now, but that's because you don't really have the life experience to understand all of the complexities of this issue. So that really did not feel good to them. And I think it was just a great reminder for me of how important it is for us to really listen to our kids, especially our adolescent kids, and allow them and really focus on listening more than we talk and asking questions and getting curious about their beliefs. A couple of years ago, and I can't remember the exact context of this conversation, but I was teaching a sex ed class in a middle school, and a sixth grader said to me in class, abortion is murder. And it certainly was not the first time that that has been said to me, and it likely will not be the last, but I have even still a really strong visceral reaction to that phrase. And my instinct, my like first instinct when I heard that was to like shut it down, you know? But as an educator and a trusted adult, I know that that's not actually the most helpful thing to do. And I also have a lot of practice engaging kids in conversations like this, right? So instead of following my first instinct to be like, no, it's not, I said, well, yeah, you know, some people do believe that and other people don't. Abortion is a really complicated topic that people have a lot of different opinions about. And sometimes those opinions are really strong, like the one that you just voiced. It sounds like, you know, you have this really strong belief. And I'm curious if you would be willing to share more about why you think that. And, you know, we didn't spend a ton of time on that discussion because it's not part of the curriculum. And I had like other curriculum standards that I have to meet in class. And it's still a touchy subject to talk about in the classroom. And honestly, when it comes up, I still feel a little bit like I'm not sure if it's okay for me to be talking about this in schools. But I was able to affirm for that student that they had a right to their opinion. And also to explain to them that it was just one possible viewpoint in a wide range of possible viewpoints, and to invite them to more fully examine where that belief came from without pressuring them, without implying that if they were to examine that belief, they might land somewhere else, right? But just inviting them to think about, if you're going to express a strong opinion like that, you really should have, you should make sure that you really believe that, or that you have some sort of like grounding on which to stand and back up your opinion. And if I was having that conversation one-on-one with my own child, I probably would start basically the same way. I would get curious. I would let them know that I wanted to know more about what they thought, even if my first instinct on hearing that phrase would be to react really strongly or to shut it down. Because that doesn't, if I were to do that, same thing as in class, right? It doesn't actually create a container in my relationship with my child where they can safely explore and develop their values and opinions and maintain the trust between us that's needed for me to influence or inform the development of their values around these important issues. I think it can also be really helpful for us as parents to remember that kids at this age do tend to voice strong ideas and opinions, but they're really still figuring out not only what they think, but also how to form opinions about issues like this, right? So, I mean, do you still believe everything you confidently asserted at age 12? I certainly do not, thank goodness. So, you know, just try not to freak out that you're suddenly raising Alex P. Keaton or Lila Rose just because, you know, they happen to make one anti-abortion comment. They're still figuring it out. And it becomes a really great invitation to listen more, to ask more questions, and to sort of focus on maintaining trust and openness in your relationship with them so that through time, as they're figuring these things out, you can gently share your views and inform the development of their values around these important topics. So a great book for older kids who are figuring out their beliefs about abortion is a graphic nonfiction book called My Mom Had an Abortion. And I linked to that in the show notes as well. That one, if you have an older adolescent, you might want to just read it first and make sure that it's the right maturity level for your kiddo. I think for kids on the younger end of this 10 to 12 range, it's probably a little too old for them. But for the older end, especially if you have a more mature kiddo, it probably is appropriate. So just, you know, give it a look first before you give it to your kiddo. But I do think it's a good one. And, you know, when we talk openly with kids about abortion starting at a young age, we really are contributing to a culture with less abortion stigma, which means greater abortion access. And we're also setting the stage for our kids to have well-informed and thoughtfully developed values and opinions about this important issue. And for some people, including me, it can feel scary or awkward, but it is so, so important to have these conversations. So I hope today's episode helped give you some language and some tips and some frameworks to help you do that with more confidence. I am rooting for you. So that's what I have for you today. I hope you found it useful. Thank you so much for listening to Sex Ed at Home. You can find the resources I mentioned on today's show in the show notes in your podcast player. And if you like what you're learning on the show, head over to my website, www.everybodytalks.co, for on-demand courses, workshops, and resources that will help you build your skills and confidence even more. I'd also love it if you could subscribe, follow, rate, or review the pod, or share it with a friend. Until next time.